The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' And so we went in to stay with him. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? I have some questions for you and something to show you here. All right. And let's see what we got in my little box here today. We have a can of something. Right? Okay. Now, looks like tuna. It could be. But how are we going to know what's in it?
You could open it.
Got to open it, right? Well, you got to have the right tool to open it, right? So you got to have a can opener, right? Don't know what it is until we get it open, okay? Got to have that tool, okay? What else do we got here? We have what?
Envelope.
Wonder what's in it. Do you know? What about you? You know? How are we going to get in it? Open it. We need another tool, don't we? We could use a letter opener, right? We know something's in there and it's special, but we don't know until we get that tool out. If the lights were to go out in here right now, need more power? We'd need a flashlight to show us the way, right? And even in the dark, we know there's things out there, but we wouldn't know if they would hit us on our knees or in our face or we'd walk into somebody. We need a tool. Well, in today's gospel lesson, there are two men that all of a sudden see another man on the road. He just kind of suddenly appears. And they start to walk with him. And they find out that he doesn't know anything about what's going on in Jerusalem. He doesn't know anything about the cross. He doesn't know anything about the resurrection. And they think they do. But then he pulls out a tool. He pulls out the scriptures. And he starts talking to them about them. He starts talking about what Jesus was supposed to really do. They had seen it, but they didn't totally understand it. It was kind of like there's something in the can, but we know it's special, but we don't know what it is yet. And so he pulls out the scriptures, and he starts to speak to them and tell them all the story about Jesus. And then he pulls out another tool. They invite him in, even though he seems to be going on, and he pulls out another tool. He takes the bread, he blesses it, and he breaks it. And that's when they remember. That's when they start to feel like this is Jesus that was walking with us and telling us all these things. He pulls out that other tool. Well, we have this tool all the time. You know, I've read this thing for many years. I've done sermons. I've done Sunday school all my life and all of that. And you know what? It still amazes me that I can open it and we'll be listening to a story or be talking about story or we'll hear it in church or we can be reading it myself or looking in Sunday school and I'll look in there and I'll go, I've never seen that before. Isn't that cool? We have these tools, but guess what? We have to use them. It's up to us to use them. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church. That's why we have this book to look at all the time. And we also have this thing up here called communion, the tool that he used where he broke the bread. We need those things. It's important to have those things. It's important, more importantly, to use those things. So I hope you will use them every chance you get so that you can have that same feeling that those men had. Didn't our hearts burn? Wouldn't that be cool? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you give us tools to use, tools in life, but also tools in faith. Help us to use those tools you've given us, your holy word, our place here, a church where we can worship and also have Sunday school and learn, and also your wonderful gift of Holy Communion, where we can break bread with you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have those times in our lives that change our lives. At that moment, there's something that happens and our life is changed. We can't go back to where we were before because our life has changed. And it starts early. We go through a number of them throughout our lifetimes. Think about a child just learning to walk. And all of a sudden, they're walking. Now, every once in a while, they may crawl, but they're not going to crawl if they can walk. They're going to get up. They're going to want to move. They're going to be all over the place. They're going to be here and there, and they're going to be getting into things. Their life has changed, and so has yours if you're the parent of that child, because you got to move a lot faster. Or think about when you first got your driver's license, of how that felt. The responsibility that you have, but also that freedom. Now you can go where you want to go. Your life has changed. There's changes that are for the good. There's changes for the bad. There's changes that we might not know exactly when the date was. And then there are those that we know the date. Such as if you got married. You know that date that you got married. You remember your wedding. Your life changed on that day because now you are joined with somebody else. And you depend upon that person. You grow to love them even more. There's also tragic times as well then too. The death of your parent. You depended upon your parents all through life. Even as an adult, when you lose your parent, you have lost something because they have been your mentor throughout life. They have provided for you. They've been your source of wisdom. They have been the ones who have taught you and we miss that person, our life changes once again. There may be other happy moments, though, too, such as the birth of a child. When that child is born, especially if it is your first child, life changes drastically. But it is for the good. It is for the good. And but then, too, there's tragic situations. Maybe going through a divorce or when your spouse dies. That person that you have depended upon is no longer there. You have to learn how to do all those things that your partner did. You depend upon each other. Your partner does some things better. You do some things better, but you have to learn to do all of them. It's tragic when a child dies. Your life is never the same again. And we can't erase that memory, but we cannot go back. We cannot go back to the time when our child was still alive. We have life-changing moments all throughout our lives, and we can't go back after each one of them. If you were here last Sunday, you heard the gospel reading, or you know that gospel reading of the story of the doubting Thomas. The disciples were all gathered together on that first Easter Sunday, and the women came back and they said, Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty and we spoke to angels. And so they go out and check, and sure enough, the tomb is empty, but there are no angels. But then a little while later, here comes Jesus. He walks in through those locked doors and he says, peace be with you. And they see his hands and his feet and his side. They see those wounds and their life changes because Jesus is alive and they are excited. And they were gathered together. There's probably the disciples and probably some other followers as well then too. But Thomas was not there. And so they tell Thomas during the week, and on that next Sunday then, Thomas is there and Jesus once again returns. And Jesus shows Thomas those holes in his hands and that scar in his side and the scars in his feet. And Thomas believes and he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas cannot go back to the life he had. Christ truly was risen. He was alive. They saw him die and he was alive. They saw him buried and he is no longer buried. But he is there in their midst. And it changes the direction completely of the lives of the disciples. And so today our gospel lesson also takes place on that first Sunday of Easter. There were other followers there in that room in Jerusalem as well. But they lived 7 miles away in the town of Emmaus. And so when it was time for them to go back, they headed back. But on the way back, they were confused. And they were discussing the things of the day or things of this last week that had happened. The crucifixion, the torture, the burial. They saw Jesus was dead and now they hear reports from the women that he is alive. That they saw the empty tomb. That they saw a vision of angels that said Jesus was alive. How can this be? And so they were confused. They were probably debating with each other. They were trying to figure it out. And then another man joins them. It was Jesus, and they couldn't recognize him. And Jesus tells them all of the prophecies in the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled all of those prophecies. Still, they didn't recognize him. But when they came to Emmaus, they invited him into their home, and it was there. In the breaking of the bread, it was when he blessed the food. And he took a loaf and he broke it. That's when the disciples, those followers, realized who Jesus was. And their lives were changed forever. Even so much so, right there immediately, that they ran all the way back to Emmaus. Now, remember, they had just walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And now they're rushing back another 7 miles. Back to Jerusalem. They were excited. They could not go back to the lives they had before. They realized that this Christ was truly the Christ. He was the chosen one. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior of the world, and He was in their midst. He had conquered death. And you can't forget that. You can't realize that. You can't know that. You can't believe that without your life changing. Now, in our first lesson for today, it's taken from 50 days after that first Easter Sunday. It's taken on the day of Pentecost. The disciples, once again, were gathered in that room, and there were probably other followers as well then, too, within that room. And that's when the Holy Spirit came rushing in like the sound of a mighty wind, and they saw tongues of flame. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they couldn't stay there because their lives were changed again. They had to go out into the streets. They had to proclaim the story of Jesus Christ. They had to proclaim the good news. They had to proclaim that Jesus overcame death, that He rose from the dead, and that He is alive. They went out in the streets, and it caused all sorts of commotion. People couldn't comprehend. Here's all these disciples who were here from Palestine, and they were speaking all these other languages. How could they do that? What's happening? And all that commotion was going on, and Peter gets up. He calms the whole crowd, and he preaches a powerful sermon. A sermon so powerful that people actually listen. They actually hear what he has to say, and they realize the truth. They hear that truth. And their reaction is when they hear that Jesus was crucified, that the religious leaders were responsible, and they felt a responsibility upon themselves then too for that death of Jesus. And they say, "What shall we do? We crucified the Christ. What shall we do?" And Peter simply says, "Repent and be baptized." Repent and be baptized. The word repent means to turn around. It means to change directions. It means that you are having a life-changing moment. That Jesus changes our lives. When we repent, when we say these things, I'm going in the wrong direction, I'm doing the wrong things. When we turn around, when we finally realize who this Christ is, this is Jesus who overcame death and He rose from the dead. When we finally realize who God is, our lives change. In our second lesson for today, it's Peter once again, but this time he's not talking, he is writing. And he writes in there, "Conduct yourselves with fear." Now, normally when we see or I've heard it this way, of when you hear the term fear of the Lord, or fear the Lord, that it means respect the Lord, realize who God is, and respect Him. But it's even more than that. It means to stand in the awesome presence of God, to realize the awesomeness of who God is. God is all-powerful. God is all-seeing. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere present, and God is love. It's us, when we stand in fear or conduct ourselves in the fear of the Lord, it means that we are the gnat standing next to an elephant. We are a pebble standing next to a 12,000-foot high peak. We are a piece of dust floating in a hurricane. That's the significance of who God is, the power that God has. We have no control over God, but God has control over everything. Even the control, even the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And since God is love, He gives the promise that we too will rise with Christ. God has that power to eliminate death. You know how powerful death is. You have lost people who have died. You miss them in your life now. Your life has changed because of that event. God is able to overcome all of that. And when we realize that awesome power of God, when we conduct ourselves in that fear of the Lord, fear is not being afraid. It's just realizing that this almighty being is right here with us. And that almighty being is made of love. That he wraps us up and he carries us. He gives us that power to rise up again. We've gone through life-changing events. Some for the good, some for the bad. We know some of those bad ones, that sometimes bad things just happen. We have no control over that. Sometimes bad things happen to us because of other people. And many times, bad things happen because we have made wrong choices. One of the most interesting things I find about this story about Doubting Thomas was that when Jesus comes back and he reveals himself to the disciples and to Thomas, his scars are still there. His wounds are still there. It doesn't mean all the bumps and the bruises and the hurts and the pains and everything else of our past just disappear. Those wounds of Jesus weren't erased. They were still there. But yet, he had risen from the dead. He was alive. He was well. Those things that changed our lives in the past, those things that were good for the bad, they're not erased. They're still with us. But even more powerful than that is that love of God that brings us forgiveness. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.